Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Battle of the Neave. The battle fought between 9th and 13th December 1813, with Wellington's army crossing the River Neave and moving further into France. A battle with some of the fiercest fighting of the Peninsular War. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site for the Battle of the Neave, where you will see a number of illustrations and my map of the battle. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@BritishBattles.com. The Battle of the Neave was fought in the southwest corner of France, near the Spanish border, between 90,000 British, German, Portuguese and Spanish troops, commanded by the Earl of Wellington, and 67,000 French troops, commanded by Marshal Soult. Wellington's army forced the line of the River Neave in a fiercely fought battle. With the Battle of the Nivelle, Wellington's army moved out of the Pyrenees Mountains into the area of France bounded by the River Nivelle to the south, the River Neave to the northeast, and the Bay of Biscay to the northwest, with the town of Bayonne on the estuary of the River Adour. The move from snow, wind, and rain-swept mountainsides to farmland saw desertion levels in Wellington's army fall dramatically. With his army on French territory, Wellington was determined the peasantry was not to be alienated by marauding soldiers and exercised rigorous control over his troops. Many of the Spanish formations that could not be trusted not to loot French farms were moved back across the Spanish border. Although a significant improvement, the area was not sufficiently large to accommodate Wellington's army for long, making further operations an urgent imperative. Soult's main position was at Bayonne, with a heavily fortified camp on the south bank of the River Adour, protected by an area of inundation. The rest of the French army was positioned along the north bank of the River Neave. Wellington received news of Napoleon's resounding defeat at the hands of the Russians, Prussians and Austrians at the Battle of Leipzig, won on 19th October 1813, as did Marshal Soult. By the end of October 1813, instructions arrived from London for Wellington to continue his invasion of France, an advance he was already planning. On 11th November 1813, heavy rainfall struck the region, ruling out offensive operations for the time being. As at the Battle of the Nivelle, the improvement in the weather on 19th November 1813 put Soult on the alert that he might be attacked. However, the rains resumed and did not abate until 8th December 1813, when Wellington was enabled to put his offensive plans into operation. The strength of Soult's entrenched position around Bayonne, behind extensive inundation of the area, made a direct assault impracticable. Wellington's attack would be across the River Neave to the southeast of Bayonne. The crossing of the River Neave would be accomplished by General Hill's corps crossing the river at Cambeau, with the British 2nd Division, Portuguese Division, Vivian's and Victor Alton's brigades of cavalry, and Ross's horse artillery troop. Hill would advance west towards Bayonne and occupy a position 2 miles long, running east from Villefranche to Mouguers. Beresford would support Hill by bridging the River Neave at Ustaritz and crossing to the north bank with the British 3rd and 6th Divisions. In addition, further down the River Neave, the British 7th and 4th Divisions would move to the vicinity of Arrons and be ready to cross the river as additional support for Hill. The Spanish General Morillo was to prevent the French at Lujasa from taking Hill in the rear. Soult's attention would be kept on Bayonne by a feint attack mounted by Hope with the British 1st and 5th Divisions and the Light Division at Arcang. Soult was expecting a crossing of the River Nive and brought forward his two divisions of dragoons, one commanded by his brother Pierre Soult, to cover the withdrawal of the French troops in Lou Hossoa. Soult's intention was to wait until Wellington's forces were divided, with part on each side of the River Nive, and then launch an attack on one or the other. Wellington's preparations were put in place on the night of 8th December 1813, with Beresford's pontoon bridges laid across the River Nive. In the early hours of 9th December 1813, a bonfire on a hill at Cambo gave the signal for the operation to begin. The 6th Division crossed the River Nive at Usteritz, driving back the French pickets, finalising the pontoon bridges and capturing a wooden bridge in addition. Crossing the river, the 6th Division drove Grouardet's brigade of D'Armagnac's division to Villefranche. Hill crossed the River Nive higher up at Cambo and at two points downstream with little difficulty, even though the stream was running high due to the previous heavy rains. Foy's division was guarding this section of the River Nive and fell back, contesting the ground vigorously, Foy's two brigades withdrawing to Petit Mouguer and Vieux Mouguer. Abbe's division moved forward to support Foy. Berlier's brigade was forced to make a considerable detour to the east to reach Foy. Hill was not able to follow Foy up as quickly as Wellington's plan required, due to the saturated condition of the ground. He was only ready to move forward along the road from Luas in Thoa towards Bayonne at around 3 p.m. By this time, the whole of d'Erlon's corps was deployed between Villefranche and Petit Mouguer. At 3 p.m, Madden's Portuguese brigade from Clinton's 6th Division drove the French brigade of D'Armagnac's division out of Villefranche after an initial repulse. The descent of thick fog at the end of the afternoon brought fighting to an end. On Wellington's left flank, on the sea coast, in front of Bayonne, Hope's British 1st Division marched up to the heights of Barouillet and halted. The British 5th Division came up on the coast on the left. Hope's force wheeled to the right and advanced, pushing the French back to the edges of the Bayonne entrenchments. On Hope's right, the British Light Division pressed forward, also pushing the French troops it faced to the edge of the Bayonne entrenchments. These positions enabled Wellington to make a detailed reconnaissance of the Bayonne entrenchments, assessing their vulnerability to an attack across the River Adour estuary. At nightfall, Hope's two divisions and the Light Division fell back to their previous quarters. For the foot guards, this involved an exhausting march back to Saint-Jean-de-Luz. Soult now believed he had an opportunity to inflict a significant defeat on Wellington, with the British, Portuguese and Spanish forces deployed on either bank of the River Nive. Fortescue considers that Wellington was not sufficiently aware of the danger he faced, underestimating the ability of the French to take the initiative. At midnight on 9th December 1813, d'Erlon's corps, comprising the divisions of Foy, D'Armagnac, Abbe and Dericot, withdrew from their positions to the southeast of Bayonne, marched towards the town and crossed the River Nive above Bayonne to the entrenched camp at Marac. From Marac, d'Erlon's divisions were to support the divisions of Turpin and Marensin, commanded by Clausel, in the forthcoming attack on the left wing of Wellington's army. These two divisions assembled at Boudigot, a quarter of a mile south of Marac, with engineers and a battery, ready to begin the French attack. On their right flank, the divisions of Leval and Boyer would advance from the entrenchments at Bayrisse. Ray was instructed to lead his divisions, Laval's and Boyer's, to the heights at Plaisance, while Clausel advanced west through the gap between the river Nive and the river Arizargues. Villatte's division remained in reserve behind Marac. For his attack, Soult had concentrated 9 infantry divisions, Spahr's dragoon division, and 40 guns. On Wellington's side, there was no expectation of a French attack. Following the previous day's action, the 1st Division and Aylmer's brigade had returned to Saint-Jean-de-Luz, 12 miles from the line of contact between the two sides. The 5th Division and Bradford's Portuguese brigade occupied the heights of Barruyé and Bidar, with outposts from the Portuguese 8th Casadores by Lake Murisco. Wellington's orders for trenches to be dug before Barruyé and Bassousserie had so far led only to a few abattis being constructed. The British Light Division was positioned in Wellington's centre at Arcang, but was under orders to fall back to Arbonne, a mile to the west-southwest. The Light Division pickets occupied positions on 3 salient spurs between the eastern end of the Lac de Brindos and the junction of the River Urdaines with the River Nive. 1 brigade of the British 7th Division filled the position on the right of the Light Division, between it and the River Nive at Urdaines Bridge. The 2nd 7th Division Brigade was 3 miles to the rear, behind St. Barbe's Hill. The British 4th Division was further to the rear, in the forest of Saint-Pay. Of the British commanders, Hope was at Saint-Jean-de-Luz, and Wellington, Hill and Beresford were on the far side of the River Nive, preparing for a further advance on Bayonne. Heavy rain fell in the night, delaying the French concentration for the attack. In addition, there was an alteration to the French deployment, with Foy's division transferred to Ray's command at Byris. At daybreak, the British Light Division forward pickets saw the French light troops assembling, albeit in a nonchalant manner, to the experienced officers a characteristic sign that they were about to attack. Marshal Soult was seen in the area. Alton, commander of the British Light Division, cancelled the order to withdraw to Arbonne and warned the Light Division to prepare for battle. The attack on the Light Division's forward positions began at 9:30 a.m. with advancing French skirmishers enveloping the division's pickets and taking several prisoners. Alton formed his division around the church and chateau of Arcang. The churchyard was held by the 43rd Light Infantry, the walls providing protection against French cannon fire. The chateau, also protected by a network of thick walls, was held by the 1st and 3rd Battalions of the 95th Rifles. The 52nd Light Infantry and the rest of the Light Division was formed in the left rear of these 2 strong points. Clausel brought up guns to cannonade the church, but his gunners were hampered by the fire of the British Light Infantrymen, and all assaults by his infantry were easily repelled. To the east, Abbe's division attempted an attack on the brigade of the 7th Division holding the Urdaines Bridge, but were driven off, with the British suffering no casualties. During the day's fighting, 4 French divisions, Taupin's, Marensin's, Abbe's and Darmagnac's, held by the Light Division and an additional brigade, achieved nothing. No attempt was made to outflank Alton's Light Division by an advance into the valley of the River Ujabia. Fortescue describes the efforts of the left wing of Soult's attack as slow, feeble and unenterprising. The French attack by Soult's right wing was more determined. Following the beginning of Clausel's attack on the Light Division, Laval's division advanced down the Great Road that runs along the coast towards Barouillé. Boyer's division marched on Puchot. Foy's division, transferred from Clausel to Ray, came up in line. The French advance met a determined defence by Campbell's Portuguese brigade in the defile between the lakes of Murisco and Brindos, which gave Hay time to bring up Robinson's brigade from his 5th Division to positions before the village of Barouillé. Boyer's division attacked Barouillé in columns of battalions from the north, while Foy's division mounted an assault from the east, with Laval's division in reserve. In confused fighting in the woods and hedged fields before Barouillé, much of it around the isolated Mayor's house, the French were driven back. British and Portuguese battalions were now arriving from the direction of Saint-Jean-de-Luz, enabling a 2nd brigade to join the troops in Barouillé. Soult launched a 2nd attack along the Great Road, attempting to bypass Barouillé, but this time more British and Portuguese troops had come up. 3 French brigades, Montfort's, Gautier's and Bellier's, each from a separate division, attacked in line down the Great Road, but met Aylmer's brigade and Bradford's Portuguese coming up to meet them. The French formations dissolved under the attack on their flanks and in front, and fell into headlong retreat with many prisoners taken. The time was 2 p.m. The British 1st Division was within sight, coming up from Saint-Jean-de-Luz. Soult sent Foy's 2nd Brigade to pass Barouillé by the valley of the river Ouabia, while the German brigade of Velat's division replaced it in support of the attack. On the line of the River Nive, Wellington was crossing to the left bank with the British 3rd and 6th Divisions. Dalhousie's 2nd Brigade moved west to fill the gap between Urdaine's and the Light Division, while the 3rd Division held Urdaine's and the bridge. Cole's 4th Division moved up in support of the Light Division, with 1 brigade covering the gap on its left, thereby frustrating Soult's last attempt on Barouillé. With the fall of night, Foy and Villat fell back to Puchot, Boyer to Plaisance, while Laval's division remained before Barouillé. Clausel held the positions he had taken from the Light Division. As the French formations withdrew, 3 German regiments in Napoleon's service managed to hang back. Once clear of the French ranks, these German regiments surrendered by a secret prior arrangement. They were marched to the rear and given ship back to Hamburg. The loss of the German regiments was a considerable blow to Soult, forcing him to disarm his remaining German troops. He thereby lost some 1,200 men. Soult's attack brought home to Wellington the vulnerability of his position, with his army divided into sections on either side of the River Nive, particularly at a time of the year when sudden heavy downfalls of rain significantly raised the level of the river and damaged pontoon bridges. 2 new pontoon bridges across the River Nive were under construction at Usteritz, but only one was ready by 10th December 1813. There was dense fog around Barouillé on the morning of 11th December 1813 as Wellington rode up from Saint-Jean-de-Luz. The French pickets withdrew towards Bassousserie, leaving the British and Portuguese free to resume their original positions. At around 10 a.m., the British 9th Regiment conducted a reconnaissance towards Puchot. On entering Puchot, the 9th was heavily attacked, suffering around 100 casualties, and had to be extracted by Portuguese infantry. On the assumption that the French offensive in the area was ended, Wellington rode east to the banks of the River Nive to check on the bridges. Rations were issued and Hope's troops permitted to disperse and gather firewood after their chilly morning march. However, this was a rash move, as in the early afternoon the French resumed their attack on Barouillé. Boyer's division marched up the Great Road, with Foy's division on its left flank. Shortly after 2 p.m., Boyer's division launched its attack on Barouille, seizing the mayor's house and other areas of the village, while the British and Portuguese infantry hurriedly assembled. There was then wild and confused fighting, with Sir John Hope personally rallying his men. In the midst of the struggle, a British battalion fired into the French flank, while the 5th Division, part of Aylmer's brigade and the Portuguese, formed the first line from Lake Morisqueau across the front of the mayor's house and into the valley of the river Ouabia. The British foot guards and the rest of Aylmer's brigade formed the second line. The French attack was beaten off, their infantry withdrawing to their original advanced posts, leaving their artillery to continue firing into Barouille for the rest of the day. Clausel's divisions remained in front of the British light division positions without firing a shot, and Derlon's single division remained stationary to their east, while Wellington's bridge building continued. By the evening of 11th December 1813, Wellington's new bridge was completed, opposite Villefranche, easing the problem of moving troops from one side of the River Nive to the other. On the morning of 12th December 1813, a visit by Pakenham, Wellington's adjutant general, to the British advanced pickets caused the French to expect an attack. A heavy fire broke out from each side and continued for the rest of the morning, inflicting casualties, 100 on the British side. The final day of the Battle of the Nive, on 13th December 1814, took place in the Battle of Saint-Pierre, the next entry on BritishBattles.com. French losses on the first day of fighting, 9th December 1813, were probably around 900 killed, wounded, and taken prisoner. Half of these casualties were suffered by the divisions of Boyer and Laval, facing Hope. British, German, and Portuguese casualties were about the same as the French, the Portuguese suffering half of the number. The French lost 69 guns. French casualties on the 10th of December 1813, in the fighting west of the River Nive, were probably around 2,000, although Soult admitted to only 1,000 casualties. The 39th and 65th Regiments of Foy's division suffered over 300 killed and wounded in the attack on the mayor's house outside Barouille. British and German casualties were probably around 600 killed, wounded, and taken prisoner. Portuguese casualties were probably around 1,000. The British regiments that suffered the most were the 9th, 47th, and 59th from Hay's 5th Division. The Military General Service Medal, 1848, was issued to all those serving in the British Army present at specified battles during the period 1793 to 1840 who were still alive in 1847 and applied for the medal. The medal was only issued to those entitled to one or more of the clasps. There were 21 clasps available for service in the Peninsular War. The Battle of the Nive was one of those clasps. The battle honour Nive was awarded to the British regiments that took part. A list of those regiments is on the BritishBattles.com website for the battle. The award of a battle honour seems not to have been governed by any particularly reliable benchmark. In some instances, regiments were not given a battle honour when they were present and suffered casualties. That is the end of this podcast on the Battle of the Nive. I hope you have enjoyed it and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site on the battle, where you will find pictures of the battle and images of the regiments that took part, with my map of the battle. Finally, I would invite you to look at the list of British Battles podcasts on www.britishbattles.com/BritishBattles-com-podcasts.